Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was blessed to get it. And then obviously it all changed from there. And as I got a little bit older, and then he obviously becomes the megawatt superstar that he was just a few years later with Born in the USA. And I think a lot of folks of my generation fell in love with Courteney Cox before she was ever on Friends, and maybe even solidified our fandom of Bruce because of her Dancing in the Dark.
Yes.
And that changed it too. And that became, I was older then, and it set on a different path. And then I finally got to see him for the first time, August 19th, 1985 at Giant Stadium for the Born in the USA tour. And that, of course, was the second chapter of changing a life that you call your podcast Set Lusting. And that's when the die had been cast for me there too, that, oh, what is this? The first concert I had ever been to was that day. It was that artist, and it was never going to be the same for me again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Set Lusting Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. Joining me today is my new friend, Terrence. Terrence, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is a great privilege.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. Tell us a little about yourself.
I'm a proud member of the Garden State Alumni Association. I'm a proud guy from New Jersey. I don't live in New Jersey anymore, but I'm from New Jersey, proud to be from New Jersey. And I live now in Colorado as life and work has brought me increasingly west throughout my adult life, but I've never lost my Jersey roots or obviously my love for Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band, and all things Jersey Shore music wise.
So as someone who's sitting in a Texas heat, Colorado sounds pretty good to me.
It does sound pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. We're enjoying a wonderful fall.
That is nice. And oh, and I bet it's beautiful there too.
It is. It's a great spot.
It is a great state to visit. I really love it. Thank you for joining me. I'm looking forward to us visiting, but I always like to start at the beginning. So Terrence, tell us, you mentioned you grew up in Jersey. Talk about it. What kind of family life, what kind of music did your family listen to?
Yeah, great question. There was music on in my house all throughout my youth. It was mostly, though, easy listening, that era of the late 50s, early 60s. So that was on in my parents' house most of the time. And I would have to sneak away and listen to Top 40 radio out of New York City. I grew up in Ridgewood, New Jersey, in Bergen County, right next to Paramus, which most people seem to know Paramus. And just a lot of easy listening and a lot of Sinatra. My parents were big Sinatra fans. And so I think somehow there was an early New Jersey music connection that was forged in me through Francis Albert. And that obviously morphed its way into my love for Bruce and Southside and everybody from the Jersey Shore music scene, but specifically Bruce Springsteen and my love for his career and all that he's meant to me and my friends and my family and everything. So I grew up in North Jersey and somehow music was part of my life, but not a big part. And that, Jesse, it all changed. It was Mr. Harmon's music class in George Washington Junior High School in Ridgewood, New Jersey. And honestly, I can't remember if it was seventh or eighth grade. But Mr. Harmon, okay, he asked everybody to bring in a song to play for the class. And this is in the day where you had to lug vinyl into your middle school.
Either a 45 single or the actual album. Got it. Yeah.
Exactly. And so everybody went through the motions, and some kids cared about the song they chose and others did not. But I remember it as Natalie Sherman. She brought in a piece of vinyl, and Mr. Harmon put the vinyl down on the record player, dropped the needle, and played Born to Run. And that was the first time I had ever heard it. And probably the first time I ever heard Bruce, if I'm being honest. And that moment just froze me. I had never heard anything like it, from the drums to the whole bit. And that was when the die was cast on that day in a middle school in Ridgewood, New Jersey, thanks to Natalie Sherman and Mr. Harmon. And that changed my life, really quite literally. I know people use that term a lot, but I've now seen Bruce in 5 different countries, 11 different states, had experiences that I couldn't imagine having when Mr. Harmon dropped the needle that day. And I'm talking to you about it. It really changed the trajectory of my life.
I'm thinking of that. We dropped the needle and pray, the Great Mary's Place. And what I love about this, Terrence, so much is I have a horrible memory. So I would not remember that. I would say, if I told the story, some music teacher and some classmate, and the idea you can remember their names, first off, good for you. And secondly, that is just a wonderful story. And it's unique. There are some things that I see universally now that I've done over 1,000 episodes. And there's a good chance, if you're from the Northeast, that you first saw Bruce at a summer camp. That either you had a roommate that had it, or one of the counselors had it. Right. That's a story you hear often. But this is the first I've heard of the music teacher. And I can remember doing the same thing where people brought in songs. In fact, I can remember one of them was the I've Never Been to Spain, right? That I can remember that, but nothing of that ilk that changed my life that way. So did you go up to her and go, hey, can I look at that album? Who is that person? What did we hear? What was the next step?
Oh, no, I was too scared to go talk to Natalie Sherman. But the next step was I asked for Born to Run for a Christmas present, and I got The River.
Okay.
And it was not what I asked for, because I wanted to hear Born to Run, which, of course, you didn't hear it all the time. You couldn't just dial up Born to Run Spotify. So you had to wait for it by the radio. And fortunately, WNEW played it often enough where I would hear it. But I asked for Born to Run, the album, for Christmas, and I got The River, which was, again, not what I'd asked for. But that set me on the journey there's other things. I was a novice, Jesse. I didn't know anything about anything. And now there's another album, and I'm only whatever I am, 10, whatever you are, in seventh grade. And
all right. So I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to do a very bad, and this with all love, I'm going to do my mom's impression, right? What? You wanted a Bruce Springsteen album. I got you a Bruce Springsteen album. What does it, an album, right?
I had the same mom.
It's what, and yes, thank you, but this wasn't exactly what I wanted. Correct. By the way, I don't know if you've heard, Warren Zane was on the podcast talking about his wonderful book, Delivery from Nowhere, and his answer to the Mary question, he named a high school, a girl that he said he never had the courage to talk to, and so this girl is your version of that, right?
That was every girl when I was in seventh grade. But,
fair enough. I can remember that point too. Yes, absolutely. Right.
And I think you and I had the same mom. But The River obviously had Hungry Heart on it, which I had heard on the radio. And again, in those days, you didn't see the printout on the screen of who was performing, you know, who was singing this song on the radio.
No.
And so that's the guy that sings Hungry Heart. And that's the Born to Run. Who is this guy? And then I find out he's from New Jersey. And then as you listen, he's talking about the places that whether it's the Turnpike or Mahwah or you name it, it starts to become, this guy is like an extension of where I'm from. And that obviously just continued for, what is that? A long time. I don't know how long it's been since I was in seventh grade, but it's, again, it's taken me around the world and brought me experiences in life and memories that are a huge part of my total existence of the 56 years I've been on this earth.
So I'm also going back to your mom. I keep thinking it's a double album. Like, you got double the gift.
Correct. You know how much I had to pay for this? It was a double.
Yeah.
But I was blessed to get it. And then obviously it all changed from there. And as I got a little bit older, and then he obviously becomes the megawatt superstar that he was just a few years later with Born in the USA. And I think a lot of folks of my generation fell in love with Courtney Cox before she was ever on Friends, and maybe even solidified our fandom of Bruce because of her Dancing in the Dark.
Yes.
And that changed it too. And that became, I was older then, and it set on a different path. And then I finally got to see him for the first time, August 19th, 1985, at Giant Stadium for the Born in the USA tour. And that, of course, was the second chapter of changing a life that you call your podcast Set Lusting. And that's when the die had been cast for me there too, that, oh, what is this? The first concert I had ever been to was that day. It was that artist, and it was never going to be the same for me again.
Terrence, I say this often, that two types of people, right? The people that go to Bruce, their first Bruce show, and go, huh, that was long. And then the others that go, oh my goodness, when can I do this again? And to have that double whammy of your first live show and a Bruce show, the sad thing is, right, you're like, I almost feel like going back to young Terrence, they're not all like this. They're all but fun.
But you know what, Jesse? They're all like this, aren't they? Isn't that why we love this guy? They're different.
I didn't mean Bruce shows. I meant other acts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, gosh. No, thank you. You're so right.
Yeah, the other acts, you go, oh,
Got it. You're so right. And I was fortunate that day in 85, I went with all my high school buddies. And just 3 weeks ago at MetLife, a lot of us from that same show, we're back together to see him in September for the second of the MetLife shows. And that moment in 85 and that moment last month or just a couple weeks ago, it's been so many of those moments in those long years, and our lives have changed and everything has happened to us. But that love of that first day in 85 and 2023 is just the same. And it's an amazing gift that we've had, and it's carried me through with my friends for a long time. And I made a lot of new ones along the way too.
Terrence, I know there's no way that an 85 teenage boy's thought to, oh, we should get a picture. But how cool would it be to have seen an 85 picture next to a 2023 picture and see the differences in the age, and that you guys are still there enjoying Bruce?
Yeah, we're still there. There was a lot more hair back then, but we're still chasing the same kind of thing. At least I know I am. And
yeah,
I've been chasing that moment forever, it seems now. And it never gets old for me. That I've said this before, and I think you heard this from me on a different venue, but that moment when the house lights go down at a Bruce Springsteen show in 85 and in 2023, and the 60 some odd shows I've seen in between, it's still the exact same feeling I get when those house lights go down and the band walks out one by one, and the crescendo of Bruce as he comes up those stairs. It still gives me a feeling that I'm chasing and will chase until he stops walking up those steps. And it is an elixir of life for me, and I never get tired of it ever. And that's a really amazing gift that he's given me.
Absolutely. There is a scene in Wedding Crashers where I think Vince Vaughn talks about pizza. Doesn't matter if it's good pizza, cold pizza, bad pizza, it's pizza. Right. And it's Bruce. Doesn't matter. Right. It's Bruce. I'm there. I'm in the building, whether I'm in the pit, whether I'm in the nosebleeds, I'm there. I'm in the building, and I'm in the church of Springsteen, ready to be a true rock and roll revival.
You're right. I'm ready to be young again, to borrow a lyric of his. And even every time he comes out, I'm 56 years old and I shouldn't feel this way. but I do. And I momentarily lose my breath when he walks out. And I know that something cool is about to happen, even though it hasn't happened yet. And those precious moments where the concert has started, but it hasn't started, is a moment in time that time stands still. Because up until that moment, I've been waiting for it. And until he counts down and starts, it hasn't happened yet. Because the minute he counts off, sadly, it's ending, if that makes any sense. So even though it just began, it's ending. And those little seconds are so precious to me.
The Terry Smith was on the podcast and he talked about a couple of buddies that are so obsessed with getting into the queue that they will leave halfway through a show in Europe so that they can be in queue for the next night show. And he's okay. That's, you're losing the point. yeah, there is that. Betsy Hodges was on a podcast and we did these, those questions like, you know, what song do you hate? What song made you fall in love? And she said the song she hates is the last song. Like she's, yeah. And there is that, the only time was the second night at MetLife back in 2016, at the second leg of the River Tour. That was the night that went 4 hours. The couple got engaged. And that was the only show I can remember, Terrence, where at the end I said, I'm full. I am sated. Normally it's, oh, I want to do this again. I've got to do this again. And that was the only time. How many shows have you seen of this tour?
This tour, I've seen 9. Okay. So I'm very fortunate to have seen 9 shows. I was lucky to see him in Europe 4 times and a few different spots here in the US and loved it. Yeah, I hear the set list thing and I get it.
I want you to talk about that if you don't mind. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I wish it was a different set list every night. Just case closed. The excitement of what he's going to play next is part of the fun of it. So there's no question. I'd like the set list to be as varied as possible. Okay. But I did see him nine times, Jesse, knowing the set list was going to be the same. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, I was going to ask the question because there have been people that said, I went to 3 or 4 shows. I normally would have gone to 7 or 8, but because of the diversity, I decided to pass. Did you think about, obviously you had to buy tickets in advance. Did you think about not going to some of the shows with the set list being pretty static?
No, never thought about it. I went every time. I bought them some in advance and some the day of. The set list is one thing. There was a certain lack of spontaneity, or right, more said a different way. There was a little bit more forced mannerisms than I seem to recall ever before. I know it's always been a bit of shtick that he's always done, which is what I love.
Yeah.
But some of it was a little bit too choreographed, which never seemed like Bruce. But
okay.
But listen, I'm ready for 2024 tour announcements. And if he tells me now it's going to be the same set list as this year, I'm still going.
Did you have tickets for anything else for the remaining tour?
Fortunately, I did not. I'm sad for those that missed it because it's something still to behold, static set list or not. And yeah. I hope he's better soon. And I hope he's out there next year. I hope so. God forbid, as they say, something's worse than we think. All of our parrot head brothers and sisters that woke up to news one day and it's over. And man, I just can't even think of that day knowing that he still is vital. His voice sounds incredible. Like the band is just, don't get me started on the E Street Band. Those guys are unbelievable and everything about it. And if you just change it up a bit, not too much, 3-4 yeah. songs. I don't think that's a crazy request from longtime fans who have watched him build a career and excite so many of us with so much surprise and varied set lists and who knows what he was going to do next. And that's part of the magic that he created for 50 years.
Absolutely. And I've been very vocal that I understand being disappointed. What I have problems with people being angry and feeling like he has let them down. I don't agree with that. I do agree being disappointed. And there is that. I got lucky. I was in Houston and he did If I Was the Priest. And I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe. And so my wife had no idea what was going on. The other three people in the seats with us, we were losing it. So yes, there is that always that joy of him pulling something out. And I think we don't know. It is, I feel like the spirit has to move him in what he's doing. I do remember on the River Tour, the second River Tour, that there were people complaining that he was doing the river in entirety. It was too static. And then when he moved to Europe and he wasn't doing the river, people were like, what? I would have gone to the US if I known I wasn't going to get to see the River Tour. So in a lot of ways, it's a tough thing to try to make everyone happy, isn't there?
Absolutely. And so yeah. I'm just grateful that he's still doing it. And yeah, he, while it seems some lack of spontaneity in a way, like I said, I'm hoping he's going to be in San Sebastian, Spain next year. And I already have 2 weekend hotels booked just in case I got the dates right. And I don't know if I do or don't, but I'm betting on it. And if I got lucky, then I'm going to have a hotel reservation in Spain. And I hope I get to go see him there, which I've never been there. And, but the thrills he's given me, the memories he's given me are the deposits he's made. He can make a lot of withdrawals and he hasn't really made any.
Yeah. So I did was curious about that. You mentioned how many countries have you seen him in?
I've seen him in 5 countries in my life. So this year I was fortunate to see him in Sweden, Norway, and both shows at Hyde Park in London. Okay. And all just the European crowds are a completely different experience that I'm so grateful I've been able to do. I saw him in Rome in 2016 at Circus Maximus. And that was one of the greatest nights of my life. There's just no question. My family was with me. We got to see sights. Who knew that there were things to do in Rome besides Bruce Springsteen? But there are, Jesse. And we still can't listen to Shout, the live version of Shout, and him yelling Roma over and over before he does the heart stop and pants dropping.
Yeah.
And that's just part of the lexicon of my family. And I remember walking home from the concert past the Colosseum to the apartment we were staying at. And I remember my daughters remarking how many songs he played, how many they knew, and then realizing he could have done another 3 hours with songs that they also know. And that was a cool thing.
That is a very cool thing. I'm going to give you a sneak preview. I just had a guest on earlier today. I'm doing a double bill. And he was telling the story that in 2012, he had booked a suite to see the show for a lot of reasons, a lot to do with his day gig. And so he had gotten there early and to try to make sure everything's going to be great, you know, for his guests. And his daughter comes up and says, Daddy, Bruce is on stage. He's no, Bruce is not on stage. It's too early. And so he keeps talking to his, you know, friends, business associates, his daughter, Daddy, Bruce is on stage. No, he's not on stage. And then she finally comes back, Daddy, I know who Bruce Springsteen is. He is on stage. Get over here. And they had gotten there so early, they actually got to hear the sound check.
That's awesome.
And I said, have you ever been prouder as a father? He goes, not really.
That's a great father moment, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been lucky to both my girls, they love Bruce. I know they would deny it at some points in their life and they would always, I'm sure, go back to it. And I think it's part of the foundation that they were raised on. And they've been able to see him a couple of times as well. And he's just given me more stories than we could possibly have time for today. Exciting ones of meeting him or just shows and unexpected moments at the Trade Winds back in whatever year that was, 95, I think. I'm a Jersey guy, as I mentioned. So you'd read that little snippet in Rolling Stone or maybe in the New York Post or Daily News that Bruce showed up over the weekend at the club in New Jersey and played with whoever. And you're always like, oh man, how great would that have been to be there? And never happened to me. And then one night at the Trade Winds in Seabright, I think the word had gotten out And so the Trade Winds was packed on a hot summer night to see Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers. Okay. And Joe does his normal blistering set. And halfway through, he leaves the stage, exits stage right, walks back to the microphone. And Joe tells the crowd at the Trade Winds, "Hey, I want you to put your hands together for a friend of mine." And out he walks. And memory serves, he's wearing a Miami Dolphins baseball cap, a dad cap. And he just strolls to the mic 10 feet away from me and just counts off into Lucky Town and does 90 minutes with the House Rockers. And little Steven shows up. And this is before the reunion. And I am in New Jersey rock and roll heaven for 90 minutes, plus Joe's crazy set. And my buddies are with me. And yeah, just a magical night that you read about. And finally, I was there.
That's awesome. I love that so much. Other stories from shows that you want to share? You mentioned you've got a ton of them, but give me a couple.
Yeah, there's a little combo thing here. So one, I had a great moment in Boston. So it's a two-part story here that I was supposed to do something in Boston and as an outdoor thing, and it ended up raining. And so I couldn't do it during the day. But that night, I had tickets to see Bruce at the Fleet Center indoors. Okay. And so my wife and I are walking around the city because we've got nothing to do. And just it's Boston, so there's a lot of things to do, even in the rain. And we're walking through Boston Common, and I see Niels Lofgren. Mm-hmm. And obviously I recognize Niels, and he's a distance away. So yeah. I see that he's walking to the Four Seasons Hotel, and it hits me like, oh, the band is probably staying at the Four Seasons. This is my chance. So this, okay, this is 1999, pre-internet, pre-everything. So we walk in the Four Seasons lobby, and there's a whole bunch of activity going on. It's the middle of the afternoon, so I'm smart enough to know there's some sort of sound check at some point. So let's wait around here for a little bit.
Yeah.
And one by one, various members of the E Street Band hop into cars, and I watch them all come and go. And then Patty Scalfa comes out, who is just the sweetest woman. And she actually walks up to me, just as a lovely person that she is. And I start chatting with Patty, and I ask her, "Hey, would you please play Frankie for the bald guy tonight?" You can imagine I don't have any hair. This, okay, is a podcast, right? So I say, "Hey, please play Frankie for the bald guy tonight, because Frankie is my favorite song of Bruce's."
Okay.
And so she giggles and laughs and says, "We'll see," just as you would expect her to do.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice as can be. And she leaves to go somewhere. And so we're still hanging around the hotel a bit just to see if we can catch a glimpse of Bruce. And Patty returns. She must have done an errand or something. What do I know? Yeah. And I would say about 30 minutes later, these two beefy security guys come down. And by now, there's a few of us have figured out that the E Street Band is at this hotel.
Sure.
So these beefy guys come up to us. There's three or four of us. This is before, yeah, cell phones. And they say, "We know why you're here. You know why you're here. Here's how this is going to go down. If he comes out, don't rush him. If he's with his kids, don't take pictures." They give us these ground rules. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 minutes later, out walks Bruce. He walks right up to me as if he's expecting me, shakes my hand. Patty's with him. Mm-hmm. And I say to Bruce, "Hey, would you please play Frankie for the bald guy tonight?" And Patty looks to Bruce and says, "That's the guy I was talking about."
How's that? Oh, wow.
Now, he does not play Frankie that night at the Fleet Center.
Okay.
But 4 years later, 2003, the first concerts ever at Fenway Park,
yeah,
in Boston. Night two. He's playing an incredible set as always. And it takes a moment. The one song ends. I don't remember what song it was. And there's a little commotion on the stage. And then the band starts. And I think immediately, "Oh my God, that's Frankie." And then they stop. I'm like, "Oh wait, what was that?" And the band got it wrong. And Bruce is addressing the band, instructing them what to do. You know that. You've seen that before.
Sure. Yeah.
And he comes back and he counts off. And Jesse, they played Frankie at Fenway.
Oh, nice.
And that was magic. Perfect night. And that's been my handle on Backstreets. God rest in peace, Backstreets. Frankie at Fenway was my handle on Backstreets for 20 years now. So yeah, some fun, good stories related to Boston and meeting him. Obviously, I didn't get a photo because there were no cell phones at the time, but
right.
I did get to shake his hand and let him know.
That is just awesome. I love that story so much. How old are your daughters?
26. She's a public school teacher in Colorado and 23. Nice. And I think music has been a big part of their lives, and they found their own musical journeys and their own artists that they love. My oldest, she spent the summer, I don't know where she got this from, Jesse, but she spent the summer touring Europe to follow Harry Styles around. So I don't know who does things like that.
You're, but, yeah.
But right. She did, and I'm thrilled for her to do that. And my other daughter is a theater nut. She can name any Broadway show tune in two notes. So they've experienced their own musical journeys, and it's fun to think that I influenced them in any way, but they figured it out themselves. And our dog's name is Rosie for obvious reasons. And that says a lot about something. And you mentioned Mary's Place earlier. We were in London this summer at Hyde Park, and as he's playing Mary's Place, guess what happens? It rains. And as he's playing Mary's Place, the rain comes down in London, and everyone is belting out Let It Rain. Just another one of those moments that lives with you that you don't even expect or could ever predict, but will never leave you. And we all have those moments. They're all our own, from the various shows or songs or brotherhoods and sisterhoods that we have with friends or strangers.
Yeah. I love that. You've got Frankie. Is there other songs that you may have been chasing? And well, it sounds like you're happy with anything.
Yes, I'm happy with anything. I think there are certain songs I could do without hearing because I've heard them so many times, but that gets back to at this point, anything is a gift. I think if the songs I would love
the issue always I think about that is we all have different songs, right? Like there are songs I've only heard Mary's Place once on my very first show. I was really looking forward to hearing Mary's Place this time, either in Columbus or in Arizona, Phoenix. My first eight shows, I did not hear Thunder Road. And then I've never heard Dream Baby Dream live, which I would have loved to seen. So we all have songs but each person is different, right? Your song, like, I never get tired of that. And it was a slightly controversy when everyone was talking about, wow, we got Trapped. I'm like, to me, Trapped's just another cover song.
Exactly. And I'll fight you over Trapped. So that's exactly what you're
getting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get that.
For me, there's just, I'd love to hear Seaside Bar Song live with the band.
That would be fun.
I've never heard that. And the dream, of course, is I'm back at a New Jersey a club on the shore, a bar at the shore, and he does it there. Can I be that greedy?
Sure.
I've never heard Santa Claus is Coming to Town with the band.
Oh, like, really?
I've seen him do it at a holiday show in Asbury Park, but that was not with the E Street Band. And so hearing that live with the E Street Band, that would be a really cool thing. And then there's like deep cuts, like Unsatisfied Heart or County Fair or things like that I would love to hear, but I just don't even imagine that would happen.
Like I would love to hear Lion's Den from Tracks, where the bands are. None of us have heard anything from Western Stars live. I would love that. In an alternate world, I see Bruce touring with the orchestra in small venues like he did with the Devils in Dust, just doing Western Stars, right? But it just, and I think your daughters are right. If you sit there and say, okay, let's get all the songs that we could have gotten, that's a lot. That's
crazy.
A whole lot. Yeah.
It's another 4-hour show of things he didn't do. And that's, I think, what the root of the set list thing is for people. There's so much he could do. Why just the same old every night? And I think that's he spoiled us so much over the years that anything less than that feels like a disappointment. And it's still just the best 3 hours you can spend. And that's why I spent 27 of them with him this summer and would do it again if I could.
Yeah. Like it's one of those, and I had a guy told me this, that said, if I had looked at if you had asked me before and you'd said, here's the set list, I went, wow, that's a pretty good set list. It's pretty diverse. Now it's the idea. So just if it's the only show you're going to, you go, wow, that's pretty diverse. It's just we all can get spoiled wanting to hear that. So absolutely.
You're so right. And my daughters, yeah, they were raised on Springsteen in funny ways too. My daughter reminded me that when they were little, we had minivan back in the day with the TV screens behind the two seats so the kids in the back could watch it. And I had one DVD in the car that I would make them watch just to give me a break in between Dora and the Wiggles and all things. And it was the Live in New York City DVD. So I could listen to it and they could at least watch something and not just stare out the window. And so they remind me that how many times they have watched the Live in New York City DVD also probably contributed to some of their Bruce, who knows what, Bruce Love or Bruce distancing, who knows, but they're quick to remind me of that too.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. And it's just so many stories from, if I could have, here's a good one too. I was mentioning that Christmas show in Asbury Park and the actor Ed Burns was sitting behind me. And he was borrowing my binoculars throughout the show. I was just handing them back to him and he would give them back to me. And we exchanged my binoculars for a good part of the show so we could see a little bit better. And that was a funny story for me at the time.
Guess
who was sitting behind me borrowing my binoculars from time to time throughout the show. Lovely fella.
Oh, that would have been a lot of fun. Yeah, that would have been a whole lot of fun. Yeah. So what's next? What's next for you and your fandom besides waiting to see if you've gambled for the right nights for a hotel?
It's exactly that. It's waiting to see what happens. First of all, wishing him a speedy recovery and where he might be, because seeing him around the world, fortunate enough to get across the ocean, it's a completely different experience than in the United States. And while I love the U.S. crowds, they tend to be older and they sit a lot longer, and the European crowd seem to be 25 years younger, just a lot more vitality in the audience, which seems to just give the band a whole lot more vitality also. And they know every lyric, even if it's a different language like Italy or other places. And so hope for that. Obviously it seems tomorrow he has a new song. I don't know when you're posting this, but Addicted to Romance comes out tomorrow or September 29th. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. And seems like there's rumors about some box sets or tracks twos or another, soul album. So I'm hoping he puts some of the songs he's done live on CD or streaming. Specifically, I would really love to hear him do Sweet Soul Music on vinyl, whatever we call it these days, on an official release, not just a live version.
Yeah.
But if he's doing a covers of Soul Motown, I'm hoping Sweet Soul Music is on the next one.
Yeah, I agree. That would be nice. I have no issue. I'm okay if he wants to do a whole series of cover albums. I'd love, it won't happen, but I'd love Bruce Plays, Johnny Cash or Hank Williams or do a country album and pick some of those things. My other musical obsession is John Hiatt, and I'd love for him to do a Hiatt song. I would lose my blank. So yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, if he just did, thank God the Tiki Bar is open, that would be fun. Or Drive South. If he does Drive South, that would be ridiculous. But I would like him just one more time. If, again, this is what being a fan is about. It's okay to be selfish about the bands that you love, I think, as long as you're not. I'd like one more, E Street Band live, put them all in a room and play whatever. I don't care what it is. Just one more where they're not doing separate parts in separate places. And if I could be so selfish to ask them all one last time to be somewhere together and just whatever comes out, even if it's a live album in a way, but just not a live show that they've been putting out. It just, that's what I'm also after, just as that rightfully selfish fan that I always am and always will be.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we really liked on this last time for Letter to You was you play the demo and now we have to play Beat the Demo versus this time with Letter to You, he just played it there on his guitar, and you got to see them all kind of work on, oh, okay, this is what we'll do. And yeah.
That for me is, and that's it. It's also just been a brotherhood since I was a kid. It's largely, God rest in peace, Clarence and Danny. And
yeah,
like it's been these same guys. And obviously if other folks have come and gone, and that part of it, that core has always been, geez, it's like the queen for me. She's been a part of my life forever.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And I was fortunate this summer, by some just complete coincidence, we ended up staying in the same hotel in Oslo as Bruce and the E Street Band.
Okay.
And so as we took the train from the airport to Center City, and there we are on the cobblestone streets of Oslo, dragging our bags to the hotel and making that racket that bags do on cobblestones. And my wife noticed a whole bunch of people outside of the hotel front entrance. And she's like, Bruce is staying there. I'm like, no, he's not. Yeah, look. No, he's not. I think you're right. Oh my God. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And there was 500 people outside the hotel waiting to catch a glimpse. We're guests in this hotel, so we couldn't even get through. And the security wouldn't believe us, even with our bags. We had to show ID. Yeah. We get in, we check in, and 15 minutes later, they stopped the whole lobby. And they closed down one elevator. And we could see, I can't remember, Jesse, I think it was 7 floors in the hotel. And the hotel was stuck at number 7, the top floor, for quite some time. You can see the little readout in the lobby where the elevator is.
Yeah.
And then 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, doors open. And guess who walks out of the elevator? The man.
That's he walks
past me. And this is really cool, Jesse. So I'm a guest, so I can be in the hotel. I have a key and everything. So they can't kick me out. And
right.
I got a chance to see what it's like to be Bruce Springsteen. He gets out of the elevator, walks right past me, and walks outside. And the minute he's past me, I get to just follow him out. I'm not I'm no threat to him. He's past me. I give him certainly his space, security, make sure of that. But I get to walk behind him and see what it's like to be him as he exits the hotel doors. And there's 1,000 people by now waiting to see him get in his car. And everybody, Bruce. And I got to like be that as distant, and I'm not that, but I got to see what that was like for him. And it's an overwhelming thing. It's an incredible thing to have quote unquote experience, to pretend I was Bruce Springsteen for 90 seconds. But after the show, some of the band was in the lobby afterwards, just having a beer or a bite.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to chat with Max for a while, who,
oh, nice.
If we could have a moment for a Max Weinberg appreciation discussion, that guy, all the guys, and they're all incredible. What he does night after night,
yes,
is just staggering. And the most humble fella, I thanked him for the years of entertainment. And his response was to, one, ask me my name.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy he is. He asked me my name. And then he just said, it's all in service to Bruce and his music. And what a response for a guy that has just lived a life and just done some incredible things with the band and on his own, and just a wonderful fella. So good stuff.
Yeah.
Been very fortunate.
Now, have you met Bruce? You mentioned that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I met him in that hotel lobby in Boston. And then I did finally meet him again with a photo on his book tour when he visited Denver, Colorado. I got one of those precious tickets and waited on the line and posed with the photo for him, which was lovely. I'm glad I did that. I always had the vision that I was going to see him at a bar in New Jersey and chat with him, and that would be the photo, or that he was going to call me on stage to sing something with him. But I just got a lovely posed photo in a bookstore book signing line. And that's still pretty awesome. It's a cool shot. And I got to check off that for my bucket list.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great.
It does.
I feel like we could talk all night, but is there anything that I haven't asked you that I should have?
Oh, God, you've asked me lots of things. That's why you're great at this. That's why so many people want to be on it. I'm just thrilled to be joining all the
that's very sweet of you to say.
Illustrators and performers and all these great guests that you've had. I'm just a fan. And it's just been an incredible thing. The few moments that always stick out, like when Clarence came back with the other band at the Brendan Byrne Arena that day and for when they made that change uptown and out came Clarence when you thought the band was broken up forever. That was a moment. And the one thing that I just never forget among all the wonderful things that I've been able to experience and some of which I've shared today, I was really lucky to get into one of the rehearsal shows for The Rising in Asbury Park.
Okay.
And just got in. I don't know anybody, just figured out a way to get in. And my elbows were on the stage for that one.
Okay.
And the thing that I'll never forget, and every time he sings it, all the times I've heard it, this image always goes through my head, is in the song The Rising, when he says, like a catfish dancing on the end of my line, he had his fingers like he does, like he's fishing, right over my head. I was looking up at his fingers. And so that line, of all the lines, it's not my favorite lyric of his, but that one is a visual that is as powerful today as it was in that moment in 2002, three, whenever the rehearsal shows were, of his fingers right over my head when he sings like a catfish dancing on the end of my line. And that one is my precious personal Bruce Springsteen moment.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. Yeah. All right, before I get you out of here, I got to ask you a Mary question. For those of you who this might be your first episode, thank you for listening. Jay Armstrong is a retired honors English teacher. By the way, has a new book coming out this fall. But when he was teaching, he would give his class the lyrics to Thunder Road. They would study them. They would talk about the themes that Bruce explored. They would talk about the images he portrays. And then he would ask his class, does Mary get in the car at the end of Thunder Road? So, Terrence, that is your question. Does Mary get on the end of the car?
Does Mary get into the car
at the end of the song?
End of Thunder Road. Wow. I think she definitely gets in the car.
Okay.
Yeah. She definitely gets in the car. Doesn't she get pregnant in the river?
That is certainly one person's thoughts. Yes. There have been plenty of people. Yes.
I think whatever happened, it seems like she had a pretty good life because we all want to meet at her place.
There we go.
That's what I think happened. Isn't that why we're all fans? This is what he does. So it's what he's done to all of us, did to me since Natalie Sherman and Mr. Harmon dropped that needle on the record. And I get to talk to you about it all and what's happened. And we all have those stories, theories, and that's what great artists do. And I'm so grateful for him and you for letting me share a little bit about my life with Bruce and this journey here on E Street.
Thank you, Terrence. This is great. If someone wants to reach you, are you on any social media at all?
I'm not. I'm just on LinkedIn.
Okay.
That's the best way to find me.
Okay. Very nice. All right. My friend, we got to have you on again.
We got a thrill. Thanks.
Yeah. Like maybe after they get another tours, we'll see if you hit the lottery, the hotel lottery, maybe after the next tour. Just think about it. Let me know. This was wonderful. I appreciate your time and sharing the stories. And Natalie, if you're out there, you made a difference. You may not think so, but there was something, you made a massive difference. And hey, Natalie, we need you on the podcast, right?
That's a great one. I actually know somebody, Jesse, that when I was at the MetLife shows, I was telling that story, and somebody who was in the tailgate still keeps in touch with Natalie. She married her high school sweetheart, the same high school that we all went to. And I can actually, and I will send the link to this when you let me know if you ever publish this.
Yeah, I'm going to publish it. This will about a couple of weeks. This will come out in about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. And yes, so then, yes, we got to have her on. That would be great.
I will get it to her and I will get you her reaction should she open it and not think I'm still some crazy stalker from seventh grade.
That sounds awesome. All right. Thank you, my friend. Listeners, thank you for listening. This means the world to me. We're so glad you're here. Be safe, be kind, and remember, if we open up our hearts, love won't forsake us. Just let the music take us and carry us home. Thank you, Terrence. Thank you, listeners. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
There we go. Another episode. I'm about to go through a couple of things where you can reach me and give me feedback. So if you want to skip this, I understand. but I do hope you check it out every once in a while. I'm available on Twitter at JesseJacksonDFW. The show is available at SetListingBruce. You can send me an email, setlustingbruce@gmail.com. You can send me a voicemail at 469-249-2442. I am currently doing a few other podcasts. Perfectly Good Podcast, John Hiatt from A to Z, where Sylvan Groth and I discuss every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. My Babylon 5 podcast is Last Best Hope for Conversation, where Lou Karen and I discuss every episode of Babylon 5 in chronological order. I still am doing Next Stop Everywhere, the Doctor Who podcast with my brother in time, Charles Skaggs. And then finally, How Many Podcasts, the only podcast on the internet that counts, where my buddies and I discuss pop culture. You can go to our Patreon page and support the podcast for as little as a dollar a month. You can go to our Facebook page, like, and please, please go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review for all of the podcasts that I'm doing. It's okay if you don't listen to them, but if you subscribe and rate, it really will make my day better. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
You just heard the fun-talking, hard-rocking, music-loving, album-ranking, fan-thinking, joy-spreading, lyric-reading, story-sharing podcast that is the one, the only, Set Listing Bruce. The theme for Set Listing Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.